There is one text editor which my love has only grown for. VS Code has gotten even better. It's got the features that make me code neater. So many things we wanna highlight, but we keep a short podcast when we try. So today we're talking about workspaces, setting yours up to make the best of VS Code.
Hey!
Welcome to Tools Day, a podcast about tech tools, tips, and tricks every other Tuesday at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we're talking about VS Code workspaces. That was terrible.
Yeah, that's fine.
I am so excited to talk about this subject because we do talk about VS Code a lot in our podcast, but we haven't really talked specifically about workspaces yet. And this is something that I love to discuss because I love figuring out how other people set up their developer workspaces, and I love just sharing tips and tricks on that subject. It seems like our viewers, listeners do as well. Before we get into it, I do want to say thank you to our sponsor of today's show, which is Datadog. Datadog is a software as a service-based monitoring platform that provides dev and ops teams with a unified view of all of their systems, apps, and services. You'll be a part of thousands of organizations who already rely on Datadog to collect, visualize, and alert them of abnormalities. There are 200-plus turnkey integrations, including AWS, Postgres, Kubernetes, and Slack, all done out of the box with custom metrics to gain full-stack observability with a unified view of all of your systems, apps, and services. Other key features include real-time visibility from customizable dashboards, algorithmic alerts like anomaly detection, outlier detection, forecasting alerts, end-to-end request tracing to visualize app performance, and real-time collaboration. Datadog is offering listeners a free trial, and as an added bonus for signing up and creating a dashboard, they'll send you a free t-shirt as well. So check out their monitoring and log management service and start a free trial today at datadog.com/toolsday. That's datadog.com/toolsday, TOOLSDAY. So yeah, you'll get a free t-shirt, you get your free dashboard at datadog.com/toolsday. So VS Code is Visual Studio Code. It came out a couple years ago now. It's by Microsoft. They've done a really great job improving VS Code since it's come out. And it's become now, if not the most popular text editor for front-end developers, definitely one of them. But I think it's the most popular one.
I feel like the biggest hipster ever with this thing. Oh, I evangelized so hard for VS Code in the early days.
And it's true. When we worked together, Chris is the one who turned me on to VS Code, and that was over 2 years ago.
And everyone was like, no, Chris, why would you use that garbage Microsoft thing? And I was like, you'll see. You'll see. You all see one day.
Well, it and got a lot better. It was slower back in the day. You had to install a bunch of plugins that are now built in, which is really nice. So now it's a much cleaner system that's faster, and I really like it. Yeah, but like, it's been through its paces.
Yeah, we did a talk on Tools Day, I think, 2 years ago, right? A year and a half ago?
Yeah, we talked about VS Code in general and also the plugins that we use. And that show will link in our show notes. But what I do want to talk about today is workspace settings and user settings and how you can customize those to your own needs, which is the thing that I like to do. So, Chris, do you want to start with some of your workspace settings that you've updated?
Yes, sure. I am a plain Jane person, so I only have a couple things that I think are absolutely crucial. Not absolutely crucial, but they're really nice for me. I use VS Code. I have a kind of a workspace for editing, for note taking, because I use VS Code for literally everything on my computer. So I use it for notes. I use it for coding. I use it for if I'm writing a document on something. Everything's in VS Code for me. And there is this really, really, really nice setting called default language, which you can drop into your editor or your config. And it does what it kind of implies, which says, hey, when you open up a blank untitled file this is the language parsing we're going to do. And I write everything in Markdown. So I was like, oh, okay, files, default settings, Markdown. And now when I overtake notes, which is all the time, it's in the language I prefer. And, you know, that is just a small nicety. Like, oh, hey, I can open up a preview in a Markdown really quickly. I can export it out, send it to other people. Really, really nice.
Doesn't it automatically detect if you save your file as like notes.md that you're writing in Markdown?
It does, but I oftentimes don't save them right away. There's like a good chunk of time where I'm just like, for me, I'll be in a meeting and I'm just taking notes. We've been doing a ton of user research recently, and so I'm just kind of like typing away. And maybe I should be saving this anyways, but I'm a lazy person who loves to live on the wild side. It's just like this really small nicety that my workspace is always set up in the way that I generally work in when I'm not in a JavaScript file. So,
yeah, I also have a separate workspace that I use for book writing because I am writing a book and I'm doing it all in this text editor. And in that, I use a different theme. I use it's called Gray Matter as my theme for this workspace. I also increase the font size so you can change your font size. It's just editor.fontsize. The line height, I like to have a lot of different, like, bigger line height here. So I have my font size 15 and 26 for the line height. I'm using auto indent to set to true because I'm writing copy. And I also have a setting called render indent guides that I set to true, and it shows you like the physical guides of how much you're indenting in your code. And I think that's like a really nice thing to have. You can turn this off if you don't like that, but like in VS Code, you can like show physical vertical lines of how much you're indenting. So that was like a nice thing that I set.
Yeah, I think it's so neat how flexible VS Code is at this point. Like, like you're writing a book in a text editor meant for programming.
Yes. The one thing that really bothers me about VS Code is that while it is nice and flexible, like I always set my tab spacing to 2, right? I use spaces, not tabs. And I always set it to 2 freaking spaces. And every time I do this, it always sets it back to 4 unless I go in and change my user settings. I feel like the program should learn my settings after I do that like 3 times. I feel like Sublime Text has learned that.
Maybe. I feel like you set your user settings to override always the default settings.
But why
and then
is
workspaces.
It 4?
What? Because what? Some people are crazy. And, you know,
some people
there's no accounting for that.
Yeah.
Anyways, not to start a spaces tabs war.
No, we're not we're not having that conversation here. But I do set my tab size in my user settings so that it's always 2.
Yeah. One kind of cool thing which recently went public, which you guys may have on your minds, is that their live share is public. It was in a beta for the longest time, but now it's open. You just need to install the Zelda extension, and this is more for me because I, you know, my two primary purposes with VS Code is I want to work as a coder and then work and then I want to take notes. And if you ever want to collaborate with somebody, the live share functionality is mind blowing.
That's really cool. I didn't even know that live share was a thing.
Yeah, and so you basically make a connection, and you just link up with another person's workspace, and you're in their workspace. But you're in your editor. And so you can highlight things with your own side. It doesn't affect them. They can see what you're doing, though. But you can, like, inspect stuff. You can make changes. It's like an actual screen share, except just for VS Code, just for your editor.
Wow.
If you've ever tried to pair program before and someone's driving the computer, like, it can be kind of awkward. But the live share is just, it's so, so, so good. So if you're a remote worker or you are pair programming, definitely try to check it out. It's really easy to use, really easy to set up, and it's one of the best implementations of LiveShare I've seen. So
that's really cool. I have no reason to use it right now, but I want to.
Me and one of my coworkers were talking about it recently because we've been both working on the same product for a bit, and so it's like, whenever we want to pair up, we can just do this, and it's really easy. So
Nice. Everyone I work with also uses VS Code. Sidebar. It's except for one guy who's still on Sublime Text, and we're like, "Yo, dude, it's 2018."
That person just has like trouble trying new things. Honestly, fine, yeah. I think most of my coworkers also use VS Code at this point. We're a front end shop, so everyone's writing pretty much JavaScript front end and back end, and HTML and CSS for front end. So other things that I've done are set editor word wrap to on, because I get so annoyed when the text is like overflowing outside the columns. I just always want word wrap to be on. I have like some spell checker ignore words list words, especially when I'm writing the book, like in taking notes, like A11Y is always spelled wrong, right? It's like gives that red squiggly for the spell check, or like playlist apparently is not a word.
Yeah.
Mentorship is not a word. I just have a bunch of stuff in here that I don't want spell checker to yell at me for.
Speaking of changing some of your editor settings, if you turn on format on save and pair it with prettier and stylent, which are formatters for JavaScript and CSS respectively, it is astounding what you can do to promote code styles, shared code styles across your team without any effort whatsoever. Like everyone is just sitting
format on save is magical. That's a really good point.
Yeah, and so like if prettier, both prettier and silent both integrate with it, so they'll run it on save. There's also an ESLint which will do as well. I turned off ESLint format on save and turned on prettier and silent. But having it across, you know, every file you work on. I don't even think about style anymore. I just kind of like write bad, you know, JavaScript sometimes. I'm like, all right, pretty will fix this. Or I'll write bad stylus. I'm like, oh, style will fix this. Who cares? But it really is a huge, huge time saver. And it's such a great way to promote shared code style across your team. And if you have a new guy joining your team or a new girl joining your team, it makes it just that much easier for them to read your code. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Also, just for tests, like right now, what we use is Prettier and ESLint in our testing framework. If it doesn't pass the linters, then the test won't pass and you can't merge your code. So preventing that step, like I'm constantly now committing just like lint commit because I have to run it through the test and I don't have that turned on. I don't have format on save turned on. And I really should. So I wrote a note to myself to turn that on.
Yep. Also, quick note about that real quick. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I have a lot of editor format on save hot tips. There are a couple files I really don't want it to go off on. So you can actually scope any setting in the configs by extension. So I have a bracket, square bracket, handlebar, and square bracket. And I have scoped settings underneath handlebars because handlebars does some things weirdly in my, you know, code formatters don't work with it. So I've turned off a couple things there. But that works for almost anything. So you can say, hey, for JavaScript files only, I want to do these things. For Markdown files only, I want to do these things. So it's kind of a cool scoping thing that the config can do.
Nice. I know that sometimes my ESLint gets like kind of weird if my versions are behind, like my like node versions like weird, and then I have to install dependencies. So yeah, you might not want to have that if you're constantly like updating versions and it could cause conflicts. But generally, it's a good practice.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to also bring up is this files.exclude in your workspace settings. So this allows you to exclude certain files from search. Right now in VS Code, it comes initially that whenever you search, it also searches through node modules. But you can exclude those node modules inside of your settings so that it's not like looking through that when you're looking up. Just file name. So that's really important to have because I don't want searching through my node modules all the time.
Speaking of staying concentrated in your code, there's a plugin I have called GitLens, and it provides something called Zen Mode. And if you've ever used IA Writer or any of those kind of full screen writing applications, it does the same thing except for your code where it wipes out your entire screen. Because it just blanks out the sides and just has your code front and center. So it's a setting that you can turn on in GitLens. GitLens, by the way, is a fantastic plugin which does a whole bunch of things, including this thing, for some reason. And Yes.
Okay, I don't think that's up. GitLens. I'm pretty sure that's just VS Code.
You're right. I don't know why I thought it was GitLens.
This is the thing about VS Code. I feel like I had a lot of extensions that became irrelevant over time because they've made so many updates. So, like, I had an extension that created icons that were paired with, like, file extension names, and then they did that as a part of VS Code. There are a lot of different extensions that, like, I don't have them installed anymore, so I don't remember which ones they are. But VS Code did a great job of, like, updating. I think one of them was, like, the path IntelliSense. I think it does that now automatically. It, like, looks through your paths.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, so nice. Like, these things make a big difference. Some of the JavaScript grammar, I think it does automatically. I don't know if the fill color changer, color picker, it does automatically, but that's another extension that I had installed.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, automatic. See, VS Code like just started creating these like plugins that are just built with the system instead of having you install an additional plugin. And that's what's made it so much faster, because now you don't need to have all the plugins.
You know, open VS Code, I don't feel like it's a heavy editor like I did if I opened up a JetBrains product. Or Visual Studio itself, but it has all these really nice things that people want. You know, people need to be really productive. And they keep rolling
them out. Integrated terminal makes it feel like an IDE to me. There's a great integrated terminal that I always forget to use because I'm so used to using like iTerm instead. Yeah. But same. I remember about it every other month, and I'm like, oh, I should just use the integrated terminal, and then I don't. But it does pull in all your like ZSH settings into it. It's cool.
I don't use it just because I like having my terminal outside, but that's just because I'm a creature of habit and I'm
I agree. I'm just used to that. But it's a pretty nice terminal that like I was surprised when I opened it up and it had all of my like ZSH style settings.
Yeah.
And also like the I installed a plugin that lets you like see where you are in Git. And like what branch you're on and stuff, like all that. Like people do those. We can put some links in the show notes about Z Shell and different themes that you can have. But it pulls that into VS Code. That was just like a really pleasant surprise.
Yeah. I think the what we're saying here is that over and over again, VS Code is just a very pleasant surprise about so many things.
I wanted to say like also one more shout out before we go, and that's the theme that I'm currently using. I am currently using a theme called Night Owl that Sarah Drasner made. It's a really great theme. And with it, so it's really good for accessibility. And like she like went through and like really made sure all the colors worked well for a variety of people with colorblindness too, which I think is really great. On top of that, I discovered this font called Dank Mono from that theme. And it works really well because y'all, like this font is so good for development. It is so cool. It has all these ligatures, like fat arrow ligatures, not equal to, triple equals, really nice brackets for like double brackets, arrows. Like it is a coding font. The mix of also like the cursive with the monospace, it's all monospace, but it also has these like nice touches, like the L's and the S's are like a nice cursive. And so like when you have your italic comments or just like throughout the text itself throughout the code, it's a really nice touch and it's super super legible, and I really really like this typeface. It costs £40. I think it's worth every penny. You can also, if you're American at least, tax deduct this because it's like for your job. So
there you go. Hey.
I really love it. I think it's worth it. I'll put the link in our show notes, but it's dank.sh. it's a really awesome font. Highly recommend. Yeah.
When I first saw like cursive ligatures in my editor, I hated it. And then I kind of stuck with it for a bit. Now I'm like, I get sad when I don't see cursive in my editor.
Right? It's like delightful. So much nicer. Like this with the like S and like it's so nice. Like all together. And just the fat arrow ligature. It's so cute.
It's so nice. Oh my goodness. I'm looking at it now. This is so adorable.
Yeah. You need this.
I'm going to buy it right now. Okay.
It's worth it. So I also will say that in order to have those capitals and ligatures working, you have to have a theme that works with them. that's setting those. So be aware, like, you can't just install this and have it be working with all of the niceties and like the italics and cursive little characters. Your theme has to work with it. So I know that West Boss also has a theme that works well with the style of font. And I forget the typeface that he uses, but it's more expensive than this one. And I think it's not as cool. It's a great typeface. Don't get me wrong. It came out way before Dink Mono, but I'm like so excited about this new one that I want everyone to hear about it. And it's definitely a part of my workspace setup now for VS Code.
I will say that if you want a free font that works really well, the IBM operator, IBM Plex Mono.
I love that typeface.
It has ligatures. It's really pretty. It's what I'm using right now. And it's free. You can get it off of Google Fonts. So
I love that it's on Google Fonts. I really, really like the IBM Plex typefaces. The monospace one is so beautiful.
It's
like one of my favorite things. It's my favorite Google font. I will 100% say that.
Yes, I will agree. And I'm always like shocked that IBM came up with this. But
I wanted to say it's my favorite thing that IBM came out with, but I thought that would be too rude. but I don't see the ligatures. Like, I don't think that they at least show up on Google Fonts.
They don't show up on Google Fonts, but if you download the font and use it in your code base, it is in fact there.
That's awesome. That's like good to know.
Yep.
That's a nice little pro tip.
It does not have the... it does have a super adorable arrow sign as well. So there you go. Not as adorable, but an okay level of adorable.
It's free, though, which is...
And it's free.
You know, worth it. I want to find the little typeface page. Oh yeah, the typeface page has all these animations in it. And interactions. Okay, you really have to scroll through. I hate when people scroll, Jack. I just want to see the ligatures. Anyway, we'll link IBM Plex font also in the show notes. So you'll have tons of different resources, themes, typefaces that will make you good to go for your workspace setup for VS Code, our code editor of choice.
Awesome.
So with that, I'm going to wrap up the show. Thank you again to Datadog for being our sponsor. Also, thank you to Webflow for being our patron on Patreon. We do have a Patreon if you want to go support us, or you could support us by sharing this podcast with your friends or leaving a review on iTunes. Those are amazing ways to support the show. If you enjoy episodes like this, let us know. You can tweet at us, your show recommendations or your thoughts. You can also talk with us on Spectrum. But any way you want to contact us, we are here to hear you, and we will see you next time. Thanks.